The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is your source for breaking news
and what to make of it all.
This is the Mike Gallagher Show.
As we can now see, Biden is a frightening combination of ignorant and arrogant, senile and stubborn. So look where the great foreign policy genius has landed us.
Nobody wants the Saigon image, and obviously we ended up with another Saigon image that will last permanently, quite frankly, whether we like it or not.
Now, from the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike Gallagher.
This is the Mike Gallagher Highlight Show for Labor Day 2021. I'm Eric Hansen sitting in for Mike today in the ReliefFactor.com studios. And this hour, we'll talk about the untold story of SEAL Team 6 and about a football coach who got canceled. But first, Mike had the chance to chat with one of his old friends at Fox News and a rising star in his own right. The host of The Five, Jesse Waters, took time out of his busy day to sit down with Mike and recall his path to success. Here's Mike and Jesse Waters.
I've known this guy for a long time, back to my Fox News Channel days, which feels like about two lifetimes ago. And I took umbrage at the Daily Beast claiming that Jesse Waters has the most punchable face in America. Now, that was an outrage until I've seen Jesse now, that face on TV, every morning, noon, and night on Fox News for the last couple of weeks. I've never seen anybody on TV more than you are these days, my friend.
Only Fauci is on TV more than Jesse Waters.
and he might be a little funnier than you. And you're a funny guy. We got a lot to catch up on. In fact, Jesse, let's start here. Of course, Fox News Channel host. He hosts Waters World every Saturday night at 8 p.m. He's one of the co-hosts of The Five. And his new book is called How I Saved the World. Reading about the book is so funny. I can't wait to read the book because the description is hysterical. But somebody asked me yesterday about the years that I spent as a Fox News Channel contributor. And I said, you know, after doing it, I didn't want to do TV anymore. It's a weird thing. I'm like Greg Gutfeld's unicorn, one of those rare breeds that doesn't want to be on TV. And yet, you know, talk about what that feels like, because you know what it's like. There are people around us, maybe you'd run over your own beloved mother to get a few minutes of airtime on the boob tube. You know what I mean?
So for your audience who doesn't realize, I was a production assistant and I would call Mike Gallagher and catch him on the cell to book him for The Factor. Yeah. I would get Mike Gallagher a car service and call the studio so Mike Gallagher could have makeup and get Mike Gallagher onto the studio in time so he could talk to The Factor. Yeah. And we did that for many years, and you were always a great guest. Thank and you always were available. That's why I liked you so much. And you had a great radio voice. So you were one of the mainstays of that show for what? Like 10 years or
something? Oh, yeah. And I mean, do you remember, Jesse, when you guys and Bill booked my late wife, who was left of center, and I miss her to this day, and Bill thought it was the coolest thing because he heard me on the radio in New York talking about arguing with my wife. And he invited her on. I don't know if you remember that, but it was such a, I'll never forget. And she had so much fun. And I'm in a terrible position because I'm not going to argue with my wife on national TV. And there's Bill moderating. But that's the kind of TV that Bill did for years. That's the kind of TV you do. You guys do. And I love your story about being a production assistant down in the basement in the catacombs of Fox News. And now I'm not trying to blow smoke in your ear, but you are truly one of the big stars of Fox News Channel. It's got to be almost unbelievable even to you.
So I started in the basement of Fox working 2 p.m. to midnight, minimum wage, no health insurance. And my job consisted of this, Mike. Someone would pop a tape out. They would hand me the tape. I would pick up a Sharpie. I would label the tape, and I would hand it to somebody else. It was arts and crafts. I had a bachelor's in history. I was doing arts and crafts. All of a sudden, I hear there's an opening on The Factor. I said, I got to get on the show. And I went up to do an interview with O'Reilly, who had a radio show at the time.
Right.
He got off during the break. He sat down, looked at my resume, and then says, so what's your father do? And I told him what my dad did. And then all of a sudden, I think he forgot I was there because it was awkward silence for about 30 seconds. Then I said, Bill, I just read your latest book. It was amazing. And all of a sudden, his head snaps up and he says, you seem like a smart kid. You start Monday.
I walked in one night to do Bill's show, and they warned me he was in a bad mood. And I walked into this, so I go into the set, and he was cranky, and he's yelling at somebody, and he had a little mirror, a compact, because makeup, you're in makeup 24/7. These days, especially with all your TV appearances, but makeup. And so Bill would touch up his own makeup with a little compact mirror that he held. He was yelling into the mirror, and I'm sitting down as the guest. You guys bring me in. I sit down at the table. He's angry and he's yelling, but while he's looking at the mirror himself, I think he's lost his mind. I think he's yelling at himself in the mirror, but he was really directing it to one of the crew members. Jesse, I swear to you, he's yelling 5, 4, stand by, 3, and I don't remember, 2, camera goes on, welcome back to The Factor, Bill. Right? I thought, and I'm a nervous wreck. I was about to fall off the chair because he was so upset. It was
always a nervous wreck. Even when I was 40 and I was interviewing with the guy, I was always a little nervous.
Tough
he was
cookie.
One of those guys, and he can turn it on and off, right?
Yeah.
There's two people. Business, you know this. Everybody it's in the business knows this. People have a switch, and once the camera goes on, it's hello there, welcome to the show. It's 4:30 in the morning, right? And then there's the people that are like that all the time.
I know.
You know, like Kennedy is like that all the time. He's always on. How you doing? You know, not everyone's like that. They have an on and an off switch, and that's how it goes.
People say about, I don't know if it's a compliment or an insult, but what you see with me is what you get, because I'm kind of the same on air and off. But I worked with the late, great Rush Limbaugh, who is the godfather of talk radio. And he was so different in person from that bombastic on air persona. He was a shy, quiet guy. But you're very much like you are on air and off. And honest to goodness, I mean, this is a mutual admiration society here, but I'm so proud of you and so excited for the success that you've enjoyed. I mean, honest to goodness, Jesse,
I had the opportunity to meet Rush, and it was probably one of the greatest experiences of my life. And I became a Rush baby. That's how I became a conservative. I was drunk in my dorm one night, had left C-SPAN on, and I woke up in a daze, and I saw these Republican senators on the floor talking, and it sounded like they were saying exactly what the founders had said, limited government, personal responsibility. And as a history major at the time, it clicked. And I said, wait a second, I think I'm a conservative. Next day, I turn on Rush, and that was all she wrote. I used to make my parents listen to Rush. I talk about this in the book. And my mom and my dad are very, very liberal. And we used to go drive from Philly to Maine, because I grew up in Philly.
Sure.
We vacationed in Maine. 6-hour drive. I made them listen to Limbaugh the whole way. And
did they enjoy it?
It literally made my mom... She drove into a bush one time during a monologue. It literally drove my mom crazy. And I figured at that time, I'm 19, I said, Rush must be brilliant if he's making my mom this crazy. I love this guy. Because I wanted to make my mom crazy at that age.
Portions of the Mike Gallagher Highlight Show are brought to you by Fellowship Home Loans. Call 800-510-MIKE or go to fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG. Fellowship Home Loans, welcome home. More of Mike's chat with Jesse Waters on the way after this. Hey, this time I'm in.
I bet you've seen Pete and Seth Talbot on the TV, the father and son owners of Relief Factor. Boy, are they great guys. They have a heart for the hurting. They just want to get you out of pain. They also do a whole lot of things behind the scenes that you'll never hear of. In fact, let me share with you a little secret. The 1995 quick start that I always tell you about, where you could try the product, the 100% drug-free Relief Factor for 3 weeks for $19.95, they lose money on that deal. But they know you're probably going to keep ordering because it does work, and they want to prove it to you. Relief Factor is made from wild-caught fish oils and botanicals. It goes to work on the inflammation that causes back pain or neck pain or hip pain, pain from a workout at the gym. I want you to try. Go to ReliefFactor.com. If it doesn't work, you notify them after 3 weeks, and you're out $20. But if it does, consider what life could be like. Could be like pain-free. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384 for Relief Factor.
We're back on the Mike Gallagher Highlight Show in the ReliefFactor.com studios. Let's return to Mike as he interviews Fox News Channel host Jesse Waters.
We're with Jesse Waters, Fox News Channel host. He's got what I hear is a fantastic, terrific book, How I Saved the World. Just from the descriptions, I want to find out more about the book here in just a moment. But I want to get the Jesse Waters take on, well, for example, your colleague, Lisa Booth, who sent out a tweet, and I thought this was spot on. I spent all day on the radio quoting her tweet. She said, "All Democrats have for the midterms is to weaponize January 6th. They no longer have Trump. The economy sucks. Cities are war zones. Biden is in cognitive decline, and everyone hates Kamala." Jesse Waters, is that not a perfect tweet?
Yeah, she nailed it. I wouldn't say the economy sucks, but gas prices are through the roof and there's a labor shortage. But she really, really nailed it right there. It's about management, right? You don't even have to make an ideological argument to defeat the liberals this time. It's really about poor management. They've broken the bank. They've broken the border. They've broken these cities. And now they're trying to break the brains of our school children with this critical race theory. They have not managed everything they're in control of. They've just mismanaged it. And these are the kind of things that really have a big impact on regular people. We feel the prices. We feel the crime. You know, our kids feel that poison being pushed into their brains. We feel and we see the immigrants pour in and flood these towns. That's the truth. And you can't spin that. And they're having a very hard time spinning it. Have you ever seen the Democratic Party be this discombobulated?
They're a train wreck.
They don't say on critical race theory, they say, oh, they don't teach it. Oh, now it's only taught in college. Oh, actually, it's being taught in middle school, but it's just history. Like, they are off.
Jesse, how about pretending they've been in favor of voting rights laws? I mean, voter ID laws for years.
Last week it was racist. Now they want voter ID. Usually they have their PR really, really just clicking on all cylinders. Something's happened. The wheels have fallen off. I don't know what happened. They have no communications right now.
Well, and then the image of Lori Lightfoot asking Joe Biden for federal help because of the surging explosion of crime in Chicago. I remember a president who offered Chicago help. Let's see, who would that be, Jesse?
He had blonde hair, I believe.
Yeah. Very red tie. Red tie, walked with a swagger.
Yeah. So he would send in task forces. He'd offer the National Guard. I mean, he pretty much begged them to say yes. But he was racist, according to them, and they didn't want a racist to help them. And now all of the black people in the South Side are living in fear because of stray bullets. Is that what you want in America? It's crazy.
I want to crack open How I Saved the World. Now, I've got to confess, they didn't get me a copy yet, so I've read the description. The description is so funny. Can you give us an overview? I mean, is this tongue-in-cheek? Is this you saving the world? Is this a day in the life of Jesse Waters? Tell us about the book.
If you want to laugh, you are going to love this book. These are hilarious stories about my time, my career at Fox. Bill unleashed me onto this world, and I've been to 48 out of the 50 states, and I studied liberals in their natural habitat. Mike, I went to the streets of San Francisco, the nude beaches of Martha's Vineyard, the swamp, and I talked to these crazy people, and I know them better than they know themselves. I know their insecurities and how they project their insecurities onto the country in order to control us and stay relevant. So this is how I saved Christmas. You're welcome. Yes, how I fought in the war on women. Remember the war on women? I was on the side of the women, obviously.
Yes.
How I saved journalism. Remember, we used to go out and ambush people. We ambushed bad guys.
Yep.
We ambushed CEOs. We ambushed other media people. We had a lot of media warfare coming up. And we talked to Donald Trump at dinner. I tell those stories about being at the White House, being on Air Force One. So it's serious, but it's also funny. And you are going to just devour this book. I know your audience is going to love it.
Well, I know it's going to be a bestseller. How I Saved the World by Jesse Waters. Jesse, thanks for spending time with us on the Mike Gallagher Show. Congratulations, incidentally, on the 10-year anniversary of the Five, which is pretty extraordinary. As Soledad O'Brien once famously said, Jesse Waters is even more stupid than I originally gave him credit for. I mean, surprisingly ignorant, which I kind of knew, but still. An actual quote in the packet of information I have about How I Saved the World. It doesn't get much better than that, because if CNN doesn't like you, America loves you, and we do. Congratulations, Jesse Waters, on the book and all the success at Fox News. You keep fighting the good fight, my friend.
Portions of the Mike Gallagher Show are sponsored by MyPillow. Call 800-928-6034 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Mike G. More highlights coming up next.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh, yeah.
Secret notebook of Nikola Tesla with his most dangerous formulas could fall into the hands of evolutionary elite scientists.
His most amazing discoveries thought to be written in a lost journal. In the right hands, it could revolutionize the 21st century.
They want to start a new world order where elites rule and everyday people are not created equal.
Look out!
Now the elites plan to set off an earthquake under LA to take out world leaders.
There's an old brown battered notebook in my office at work. You have to find it, take it, and keep it hidden at all costs.
Let's just say there are a lot of enemies of the state interested in his research.
It's up to regular people to stop them. A grad student, a campus cop, a deaf army vet, and a group of live-action role players.
A vertical quake this size could collapse half of Dauntop.
Catch Final Frequency, playing exclusively on SalemNow.com or download the mobile app. For more information, visit FinalFrequencyFilm.com.
This is the Mike Gallagher Highlight Show. Eric Hansen in the ReliefFactor.com studios. Mike returns live tomorrow. Afghanistan has been much discussed in recent weeks, and this is the story of a mystery surrounding SEAL Team 6, the elite fighting force that encountered tragedy in Afghanistan. Mike had a chance to talk to author Don Brown about the recently released documentary concerning this mystery. Here's Mike and Don Brown.
Had an opportunity to watch a movie that I can't wait to share with you. I've heard Don Brown on the radio before. Great, great, great patriot. He's a former U.S. Navy JAG officer. He's the author of 15 books, including Call Sign Extortion 17, The Shoot Down of SEAL Team 6. This was a nonfiction military expose on which this movie, Fallen Angel, this documentary, is based. A real joy to welcome Don Brown to the Mike Gallagher Show. Don, first of all, congratulations on bringing this thing to the big screen. This documentary is going to be available at SalemNow.com. It's produced by RPM Films, available on our streaming platform. Tell us all about the documentary, what the event was that was such a pivotal role in your life. Tell us about what kind of questions are answered by the movie, by the book, by the whole process.
Mike, thanks for having me again. I've been with you before, and you are the great patriot and has served our country so well. This docudrama is very, very powerful docudrama movie, which tells the story of Extortion 17, or Extortion 17, as they say in military aviation parlance, which marked the largest loss of life in the history of the American involvement in the War on Terror and the largest loss of life in the history of our U.S. Navy SEALs. We lost 30 Americans that day, including 17 members of SEAL Team 6. And one of the great tragedies is that most Americans still don't know about this. We know about other things. We know about frivolous sound bites that the liberal media gives us. But 30 American heroes lost in one swoop, and we still don't know this story as a general rule. And I think in this case, the filmmakers, Stephen Spivey and Carl Horstman, are going to do a great, great job of bringing this story to light. There are many unanswered questions. You say, I saw a preview on the big screen in the Palm Beach area Friday night. If there was a dry eye in that theater, I didn't see one. No. This is a very, very powerful expose of their story, and we hope everybody will go on to Salem Now and watch this movie immediately and pass it on to your friends. I've been involved in this case for 7 years. My book came out in 2015. You were kind enough to have me on then.
Sure.
Military covered up a lot of things in this story, and the movie touches on some of that. No one movie, no one book can tell the whole story, but these men need to be honored, and this movie is very, very powerful, and I think it's a great, great step. It's a next step in getting their story out, and I appreciate you for giving some time today to remember them.
Well, Don, I mean, your interview was haunting because it stayed with me ever since. I mean, there is so much mystery. You know, I know we always hear the phrase conspiracy theory a lot in today's, you know, lexicon. We talk about, well, you know, it's crazy conspiracy theory. I'm sure you've been met with some of that as you have really, really uncovered a lot of questions about that fateful night. What really did happen that night? Go take us through that night with this terrible loss of life of American heroes. Kind of take us through it and tell us what happened.
You bet. Let's set the setting. August 6, 2011 was 96 days after U.S. Navy SEALs of SEAL Team 6, just like this group, had taken out Osama bin Laden. The high mark of the history of the Navy SEALs killing the world's most renowned terrorist. Now, here we are 96 days later, and suddenly this SEAL team is spun up on a mysterious mission. Wardak Province, Afghanistan, takes off from Logar Province, a place called Base Shank, on a mission that should have been 10 minutes from wheels up to wheels down. It takes off at 2:22 a.m. in the morning. The chopper takes off, heads towards its destination. Everything's fine for the first 5 or 6 minutes, and all of a sudden we lose communication with it. The chopper is not responding. The chopper should have been on the ground at 2:32 a.m. It is hanging in the air. The chopper is giving strange signals to flight control, requesting something known as a sparkle, which it shouldn't have been doing. The pilot says he's having trouble lining things up. There should be no delay in this flight. The longer a big chopper like this hangs in the air, it's loud. It opens itself up for targeting. There had been a switch out of Afghan commandos flying with our Navy SEALs. So I didn't know this before I wrote the book. We were flying with Afghans, and this group of Afghans had been brought on sometime within just a few days before. They were not recorded on a flight manifest because their brother Afghans were angry at our SEALs. And so the chopper's hanging in the air inexplicably. Finally, 9 minutes afterwards, 7 minutes after it should have been on the ground, we get a call from it that said 1 minute, 1 minute, thinking it should have been on the ground. A minute later, there's an explosion, and the chopper lands in a way it should never have landed. It hits the ground, and there are no survivors. Now, one of the big mysteries here is what happened to the black box. You know, I got access to the military's 1,250-page report called the Colt Report. Somehow it was mysteriously declassified, and we discovered Army Pathfinders were sent in to look for a black box for 3 days. They could never find it. Then, 2 months later, in October of 2011, General Jeffrey Colt, the investigating officer, tells military family members that it had, quote-unquote, washed away in a flood, you know, which is basically, this was a creek called the Tangi River. There are pictures of it. It looked like a little muddy creek. And that was suspect. The Pathfinder commander says it's the first time we never found a black box.
Wow.
Well, then, two and a half years later, at a hearing held by former Congressman Jason Chaffetz, there's a military bureaucrat, a deputy defense minister named Gary Reed, who testifies under oath that the chopper never had a black box to begin with. Now, one thing, since my book came out, we didn't have many names, but I hoped and prayed that people would step forward. We've had people step forward. And in fact, we've had a couple of military pilots who will be interviewed on this film who give us some insight on that black box. This chopper did have a black box, and it had a cockpit data recorder, had a cockpit voice recorder. So if something happened on board, we would know it if we found that cockpit voice recorder. We didn't find it. And as I point out in my book, somebody came onto the ground, you know, before Army Rangers arrived. This was even reported in the final cult report and left mysteriously an American force or a coalition force that could have taken the black box. We don't know what happened. But the mystery of the black box is one of the big things that hangs over this. We also discovered bullets in the bodies of several Navy SEALs because we were able to look at some of the autopsies. There shouldn't have been no bullets in the bodies. But the bullets, get this, Mike, these bullets were called cook-off rounds, and they were thrown away immediately by the Navy, by the military pathologist before the investigation was even complete. So we don't know if they were American rounds or they were Soviet-style rounds, just threw bullets away. The cover-up here is inexplicable. You know, we've had parents who believe, have been told their children may have been cremated. One Gold Star mother has tried, you know, since 2017 on numerous occasions, asking the Pentagon in letters and FOIA requests, did you cremate my son or is his body intact? The Pentagon blows this lady off. Karen Vaughn blows off a Gold Star mother, doesn't give answers. And there have been things that have happened since then that even go above and beyond the scope of what happens in this magnificent film that bring questions to this case.
You know, portions of our show are brought to you by MyPillow, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud of supporting Mike Lindell, who has been through an awful lot as MyPillow has been sort of canceled by the retail stores. And yet the sales online are at a record high. And Trevor yesterday kind of sheepishly said, Dad, I'd love to get a pair of those slippers you keep talking about. They're the most incredibly comfortable slippers I've ever had on my feet, ever. Have I got an announcement over these My Slippers? Took them 2 years to develop these slippers. We've got the Trevor Special, 50% off for a limited time. These My Slippers from MyPillow, slip-on or moccasin style, men's, ladies, you get 50% off the regular price when you enter the promo code MikeG. But you got to go to the Mike Gallagher Radio Specials box. These slippers will change your life. You go order a pair of My Slippers because you're going to get 50% off for a limited time only. MyPillow.com, promo code MikeG. The Trevor Gallagher Special, 50% off the My Slippers. MyPillow.com, promo code MikeG, or call 800-928-6034, 800-928-6034, as we love to sing.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Promo code MikeG.
Much of today's show can be found in its entirety when you subscribe to Mike's podcast, The Mike Gallagher Backstage Pass. You can download all of our podcast episodes wherever you get your podcasts, like Apple, Spotify, and Google, and you can find links to the podcasts at MikeGPodcasts.com. More highlights right after this.
Then they send me away, teach me how to be sensible, logical, oh, responsible, practical.
You see it at the pump, the grocery store, and construction costs. Another month of the highest inflation since 2008. Another month where that paper money you're carrying around is worthless. What's your plan to protect your savings? You have homeowners insurance in case of a fire. What insurance do you have in place if inflation sets in further and pushes prices even higher? Well, my insurance plan is gold and silver from the Birch Gold Group. If you haven't reached out to Birch Gold to diversify your IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA, you need to do it today. Text Mike to 474747. We'll send you a free info kit on protecting your savings with gold. They've got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, tons of five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. I'm one of them. Talk to them. Have them help you safeguard your retirement savings. Text Mike to 474747 to claim your free no-obligation info kit on holding gold and silver in a tax-sheltered account. Text Mike to 474747. Take the first step in protecting your savings today.
This is the Mike Gallagher Highlight Show. I'm Eric Hansen in the ReliefFactor.com studios. These days, it seems like anyone can get canceled for any reason. Take the case of George Kemper, Army vet, football coach, canceled. Mike invited George Kemper to the show to share his story. Here's Mike and George Kemper.
George Kemper is an Army veteran who served as a specialist in Syria. He graduated from Loyola Academy in 2013. He was up, I believe, for a coaching job at Loyola Academy, and it didn't work out. George, I really appreciate you spending some time with us here on the Mike Gallagher Show. Thank you, sir. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Can you share with us, for the benefit of people who haven't heard the story, tell us about the coaching offer that you had from this private high school in Illinois, how the offer was rescinded, and why it was rescinded.
So I got out of the Army in May of last year. And when I got out, I wanted to get back into the community that I knew. So I reached out to Loyola Academy and asked if there was any coaching opportunities for the baseball program. In October, they got back to me and we started a conversation. And then in November, they offered me the job. They said it might take a month or two to kind of get some paperwork and everything sent to me. But then in January, they reached out to me and said that they were rescinding the offer due to political statements that I had made and posted. They didn't really go into too much detail. They said it was – I had voiced – they were concerned with my opinion of how COVID was handled, how states and cities were handling their response to it. And they said that they didn't feel comfortable having someone with that. They never gave me the chance to defend myself. I never stated that I would not follow the guidelines. If I was given the job, I just was simply stating my dissatisfaction with how things were being handled.
I mean, COVID has become the third rail for some of these institutions, from big tech, even to a place, I guess, like Loyola Academy. If you don't follow the party playbook, if you don't follow the marching orders, you're in trouble. You know, you hear about it happening to other people, this so-called cancel culture, but when it happens to you, it's like, wow, it's real. I wonder if you had that same sort of emotional response, that when it happened to you, well, it was right, this came right to your doorstep.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, we look at it on a broad scale. We see celebrities, we see radio hosts, news hosts, and politicians even, we see this start to happen to them. You know, the Gina Carano case with Disney, we see that happen, and we don't think it happens, it could happen to us. And so as soon as it happened to me, it was kind of a shock, that especially what I think what hit me the most was came from an institution that I was familiar with. My father went there, my uncle went there, my grandfather went there. You know, we have a legacy with this school, and I went there, and the fact that it just was so sudden. No conversation to be had. It was just, oh, you said the wrong thing. We don't want to associate with you.
Well, let's look, George, for a moment at what you did say or what you posted on Facebook, because for the benefit of people who might be suspecting, well, maybe it was crazy, obscene, over the top, unhinged commentary on his Facebook page. What kind of content did you post that Loyola Academy found objectionable?
So there was one in particular was it was when Governor Newsom was caught having a dinner during
the French Laundry.
When there was still the lockdown. Exactly. Yep. And I posted that and I said along the lines of this is just further proof that these laws are not for, you know, these are for the little people.
Right.
Why should we be following these when the people instituting these rules aren't following them? There was another one during Thanksgiving. I posted that I'd gone down to Florida to visit my family, and we had a great time. We went out. We had dinner. We socialized together. We went to the beach. And then I said that 2 weeks later, no one was sick. There was nothing wrong. And it was simply saying at the end of it, the message was, don't be afraid. Don't let this ruin your Christmas with your family. It's too important to spend time with your family. And even just things like that, it seemed that wouldn't have assumed they were controversial, but you know, I guess they are in today's age.
It's more than a little frustrating and frightening, because this is not a country that I recognize. I've never really seen any event that has come along. And I know COVID is a game changer and it wrecked the country and it wrecked the world. And we've been through a lot of pain and agony and misery. But I've never really seen a country respond where no dissent is allowed. No other point of view is permissible. And if you dare say something like, wow, look at the hypocrisy of a politician going out to dinner without a mask on when he won't let other people do it, you're going to have a job offer rescinded. Here's what's fascinating to me. I was reading an article about your case, And I'm sure you believe, and I still believe, that Loyola Academy is a fine institution. And the school says on its website that the Jesuit tradition calls on the school to participate and engage in respectful dialogue and to listen with ears of compassion. Loyola Academy aims to build a welcoming, accepting school culture and climate in which all members feel a genuine sense of belonging. George Kemper, do you feel that anything you did violated the spirit of Loyola Academy in any way, shape, or form?
No, I do not. I mean, I think that if anything, you know, I respect differences of opinions.
When stories like this hit the mainstream media, though, and I saw this on Fox News, of course, it's not a mainstream media, it's not ABC, CBS, NBC, or anything, but when a network like Fox News covers a story like yours, there's often then a pushback against an entity like Loyola Academy. Do you expect any kind of a changing of an outcome? I mean, I know it's a part-time position. It's not exactly like you're going to get rich being a baseball coach at Loyola Academy, but has there been any talk about them reconsidering this decision?
No. So since the last contact I've had was when they rescinded the offer. So I haven't heard from the school in any way. As far as pushback goes, there have been other instances within the school that parents and students are handling on their own.
Well, on behalf of everybody listening to this conversation all around the country, I sincerely apologize for what you went through. It's their loss, and I hope, George Kemper, that somewhere you're going to make a great baseball coach. Thank you for your service to America, and thanks for sharing your story with us here on the Mike Gallagher Show. We appreciate your time very much.
Thank you for having me.
That wraps up this edition of the Mike Gallagher Highlight Show. Mike is back live tomorrow. I'm Eric Hansen. Thanks for stopping by. I'll talk to you again on Thanksgiving. Until then, be safe, take care, and God bless America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.